Welcome to Thoughts for a More Sustainable World, a podcast about topics in relation to the Sustainable Development Goals. My name is Flo.
And my name is Lisa.
And we are hosting this episode on SDG 12, ensuring sustainable consumption and production patterns, and specifically about how to scale up the fight against food waste. We hope you will enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Hello everyone, it's the 16th of December, which means that the holidays are coming up. So for me, that means presents, of course. And probably spending a lot of time with my family at the dinner table. Lisa, what are your plans for the holidays?
I'm looking forward to dinner parties with my family and friends, especially the desserts.
Oh yeah, those are nice. I think these gatherings are actually a great time to think about what's on your plate and the enormous amount of food waste Christmas dinners create. There is always such a crazy amount of food and we can eat the leftovers for days. So this holiday season might also be a good time to think and talk about food waste with your friends and family.
We know this subject can be tricky. You might even feel a bit of shame when you think about it. I definitely do when I have to throw away food at the end of the week. Especially as a student, I find it quite difficult to plan my meals ahead for an entire week, which often results in having to throw away forgotten food before I go home on Friday.
Yeah, I relate. I have the same problem. But food waste is a big global problem, and it's important we are informed about it. So instead of avoiding the conversation, these holidays can be the perfect time to talk about it.
How to do that? Well, that's exactly what we want to share with you today. In this episode, we are specifically going to talk about how we can reduce food waste on a global scale by discussing the different levels of food waste, starting with the consumers, followed by the producers, and ending on the societal level. We would like to give you some tools for those holiday dinner combos. So, Flo, what do you think? Let's dig in.
Yes, Lisa, I'm ready. We start this podcast by talking about the consumer level of food waste with one of our fellow students, Eva. Hey, Eva, happy to have you here. How are you?
Great, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. So you're sitting next to me to tell me a little more on how consumers can have an impact on the fight against food waste. To start off, I would like to ask the question. Can consumers have an impact on this matter? Isn't it mostly the larger food industry that should be held accountable for the majority of food waste?
Well, that's a very good question to start with. Let me begin with sharing that approximately one-third of the food supplied for human consumption is wasted across the food supply chain. This means that the land and resources used, together with the greenhouse gases emitted in producing it, was unnecessary.
So all of this waste, for nothing?
Yes, that's awful, isn't it? There is also a big difference between the global north and the global south. In the global south, that covers the developing countries, food waste happens most of the time unintentionally and occurs on the farms, during storage or distribution. But in the global north, that covers developed countries, about half of the total food waste is generated at the household level. This basically means that consumers are picky when it comes to food with bumps or bruises, and that consumers buy too much. So I think it's safe to say that we, who live in the global north, are one of the biggest contributors to food waste. So yes, collectively, consumers can definitely have an impact on this matter.
Wow, that's really interesting to hear. So we really need to change the behavior of the consumers. Do you have any tips on how to do that?
Well, one way to change individual behavior would be using platforms on social media to spread the message.
It's really true that social media allows us to spread information on a big scale.
Yes, indeed. This is also why social media is important in the concept of social innovation. Flo, do you know what social innovation is?
Kind of, but can you explain again?
So social innovation can be defined as a solution for a problem which is related to human needs. And above all, this process should entail an empowering dimension, which results in an increase in socio-political capability.
Okay, but what does that have to do with social media?
So, in order to achieve social innovation, there is a need for extensive networking, communication and collaboration among various social actors, which is where social media comes into play.
Oh, okay, so that's how it works. Maybe our social media addiction is not that bad after all. Do you have any other advice?
I really believe that the most powerful thing we can do is talk to each other, share information, share with your family and friends what you are doing to reduce food waste in your personal life, make people around you aware of the problem, stuff like that. But I must say that it is very important to have a pleasant conversation. Don't make people feel guilty and ashamed of their lifestyle, because that doesn't help anyone and it makes it annoying to talk about.
I understand what you're trying to say, and it sounds very good, but I assume that it is not always that easy to talk to your family and friends about climate-related issues. How do you talk about food waste to the people around you who don't share the same concerns as us?
Yes, I can definitely imagine sitting at the Christmas table with your conservative uncle, but you're just unable to have a good conversation about stuff like reducing food waste with him.
Yeah.
I recently listened to the podcast How to Save a Planet on Spotify, where they devoted an episode on how to talk to family members about climate change. There, I learned that it is important to listen to their story first. Try to understand their mindset before you start speaking. It is important to acknowledge that you disagree while keeping in mind where they are coming from. Also, try to make it personal. Avoid talking about serious facts or talking points, but focus on talking about your feelings on the topic.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. Talking about advice, do you know some interesting platforms or initiatives to fight food waste on the demand side?
Yes, besides the podcast, there is also this Instagram page, Love Food Hate Waste, that brings together advice and information, and it organizes events around this topic. And a very useful tip is to look up and join Zero Waste groups on Facebook to find out all tips and tricks applicable to your local city.
Thank you, Eva, for all this advice.
You're welcome.
So, let's talk to one of our other fellow students, Valentina.
Hey, Valentina.
Hey, Lisa. So, I was listening to Eva's advice, and these are already steps in the right direction. But of course, food is not only present at home, but also in supermarkets, restaurants, and other places. Let's have a look at what companies and initiatives can do to scale this up.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea. The bigger the scale, the bigger the impact, I think.
Have you ever thought about what happens to the food that doesn't get sold in supermarkets before the expiry date?
Not often. I'm actually a bit scared to know how much foods get wasted by them.
Indeed, me too. But I will share the numbers anyway. Sorry to be a mood killer. Well, according to the UN Environment Programme's Food Waste Index, in high-income countries, 20% of all food waste is produced in retail and 80% of all food waste is produced in restaurants. So let's talk about ways to rescue these products that would otherwise be thrown away by them. You probably know Too Good To Go, right? The famous food waste app. You can buy surplus food for a low price, a real win-win situation for everybody.
Oh yeah, I use Too Good To Go sometimes.
Yeah, me too. And also besides this, there are many ways to be creative with food waste. For example, Recoup is a very innovative non-profit company and does many things to reduce food waste. We invited Marijke, the co-founder of it, to talk about her project.
Welcome, Marijke.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, Marijke, Recoup does a lot of things. Please tell me more about all your amazing projects.
Well, we started with Recoup almost 6 years ago, and in 2015, we started having a food waste restaurant that was a pop-up restaurant that worked with all the leftovers that we got from restaurants, from stores, and we got a couple of farmers too that gave us the vegetables that they had left over. Mostly those vegetables are just looking wonky, curved, not looking very delicious to a consumer. And well, that's one of the things that we'd like to address. People that are shopping like to pick the most beautiful things that are laying out there, and with the beautiful colors and straight carrots and stuff like that. But, well, not all carrots are straight. That's just a thing. So we like to bring or raise awareness about food waste, and we did a pop-up shop, we had an app, and now we have a project about sweets, actually. So we bake and we make bonbons, we make pralines out of wonky vegetables.
Yeah, that's really great. So people can be enthusiastic about products coming from food waste. But do you think these people knowing that your products come from food waste is making it more attractive, or is it maybe rather the opposite?
Well, if you put it like that, food waste, it's not like it's already been eaten or something, or some stuff is growing on there and then we'll try to put it in some chocolate. That's not what we're trying to do. But so it's more the aesthetics that we're trying to approach and put that in the picture. But it does have like a second story to it. It's just not a box of chocolates. When you buy it as a gift, you can have like a nice conversation about it as well. And the topic is very hot right now. It was not in 2015 where every supermarket was like, huh, food waste? We don't have waste at all. And we're like, oh yeah, sure.
Exactly.
So, well, it's a bit the opposite right now. So everybody is like hot on it. And well, climate change is the whole thing. It should be something everybody's thinking about. And we're not able to produce so many chocolates that food waste is going to be out of the picture. That's not the whole thing. We just like to be, well, raising awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a very, very beautiful message. So it's indeed really encouraging to see that already some producers are re-evaluating their ways of producing and providing these goods to the public, like you are doing with Recoup. Mm-hmm. But valuing food waste, like you say, still remains a bit innovative, since indeed 5 years ago it was not that that very known. So what do you think can be needed in order to have more producers incorporating this?
Well, that's a very difficult question, because it's just you'll have to find something that is more a commercial. Well, it has to be a commercial product that you make. In the end, everybody needs to make money, but by doing what they're doing. So I think, well, it's nice if people go work together and, like we did, just help each other out. And then I think more of these initiatives can grow. And what needs to change? Well, I think governments can subsidize more. And if you are able to do something like we do, or, well, there's 100 other projects already started already this and bring this topic alive. But I think there's not enough awareness in governments that they really have to support what people are doing and helping the climate and stuff like that. That should be one of the things.
And let's hope for also the higher institutions to pick this up in the future.
Yeah, we hope so too.
Thank you, Marike, for this interesting talk and also for helping the planet. And good luck with Recoup.
Thank you so much.
As Marike already indicated, in addition to these initiatives coming from individuals and producers, governments can also help by supporting them economically through the provision of subsidies. But besides that, they can also actively set up projects or initiatives themselves and use their power and means to engage in this problem. For example, there is OptiVec, a project from the Flemish government that uses modern technology to extend the shelf life of fresh fruits and vegetables, which is mostly very short. By extending the durability, less will end up in the garbage bin. However, governance is not limited to authorities only. Also, cities or regions can help to tackle this problem.
Thank you, Valentina, for this interesting conversation. There are indeed many things that companies, cities and even governments can do. Now, Melissa and Flo will debate over what can be done on a societal level to tackle food waste.
Hi there. So the thing is, food waste still persists today and at a huge scale, despite all of these initiatives. So this got me wondering, maybe we're not actually treating the core problem.
Well, after hearing all of these possible solutions, it seemed like all we needed to do was adopt them, but just at a faster rate and more globally. But what made you think that we might not be treating the core problem?
So I read a book recently called All We Can Save, And one of the essays in there, called Harnessing Cultural Power by Fabiana Rodriguez, talked about the role of culture and arts in combating environmental issues. And while reading her essay, I realized maybe the core problem lies in our value system, in our mindset, one that is tied to our consumerist and capitalist culture. The people behind all of the initiatives that we talked about against food waste share a common vision and values. They all want a world free of food waste. They all value environmental protection, equality, and fairness. And this vision is missing on a global scale. And I believe art can help solve this. It provides a space for personal values and emotions to be expressed, so it can help to reach more people by touching them emotionally.
Yeah, I see how it can be really difficult to have everyone share the same vision of a better world. But how exactly can art help us do that?
Here's one example. Did you know that the inventor of cell phones, Martin Cooper, credits Star Trek as the major source of inspiration?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really one example of how art can inspire us to meet the world's needs, our needs. It stimulates our imagination, challenges our perception of the world, and shows us what is possible.
But then, I don't know, when it comes to food waste, it seems to me that the core problem is in our food system. Our food systems are so complex, unequal, and globalized. There is so much hunger in the world, and yet there is so much excess in the food we produce. And that's unfair. There's no central government to oversee our food systems, so it's very prone to bad management. So how effective is art as a catalyst of change?
Well, using artists for societal change is not a new thing. There have been many artists and art movements throughout history that were part of bigger societal ideas and helped form them. For example, the French Renaissance brought deep societal transformations in the way people viewed and understood the world with the spread of humanism and the early exploration of the New World. So I think a good start would be to have a large arts movement exposing the inefficiency and unfairness of our food systems if we want deep societal change.
Okay, so I kind of see how art has the power to change our systems, but it's probably not sufficient to stop food waste.
No, yeah, it definitely isn't. It has to work with the media, NGOs, education, government action, and the market. This is where social innovation can be applied, as Eva mentioned. We have several actors, including those who usually don't participate, working together to enhance food waste reduction.
Ah, yes, social innovation. There it is again. Do you have some examples of it on a societal level?
Yeah, for example, there's the Avanzi Popolo 2.0 project in Italy. It is an alternative to food banks. So this basically connects places where food is wasted and places where food is needed. It is socially innovative as it fits into its three core features. It satisfies the need to find distributors and recipients for excess food. It improves social relations as different community members participate, such as schools, food producers, small retailers, charities, and finally, people can donate regardless of their income status, so they're empowered to participate.
Thank you, Melissa, for this very interesting perspective. I definitely think art can be a useful participant in the fight against food waste.
To wrap up this episode of our podcast, we want to give a list of actions that you can do to tackle food waste yourself. The first tip is to be conscious about what you buy. You can ask yourself if you're going to eat it within the expiration date.
And if you have leftovers, try to reuse it in other recipes or eat it at another time. Be creative. Did you know you can make face masks from coffee grounds or even all-purpose cleaners from lemon peels?
Another tip is to buy local. It requires less transportation and it's more seasonal, so it stays fresh longer.
You could also use food redistribution apps like Too Good To Go.
And since the holidays are coming up, it can also be a good idea to donate food with an approaching expiration date to the food bank to help the less fortunate during the holidays and to save food from being wasted.
And finally, it is very important to talk to the people around you about food waste. Check out what your community is doing and how you can contribute. because together we have much more power to create a real change by influencing policymakers and affecting the way our society tackles food waste.
Thank you for listening to this new episode of Thoughts for a More Sustainable World on Food Waste. Hopefully you learned a lot. We sure did. See you in the next episode. Bye!